Hearing. Splashan. Touching. Jigran. Smelling. Ashnan. Eating. Gachan. Going. Svapan. Dreaming. Shvasan. Breathing. Many activities. There's a second verse to this series. Balapang visijan grinan unmishang nimishang api indriyan indriyateshu vatanta iti darayan. Translation. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, that means going to the toilet, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence, and consequently he has nothing to do with any work which depends upon five immediate and remote causes. The doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor and fortune. This is because he is engaged in the loving transcendental service of Krishna. Although he appears to be acting with his body and senses, he is always conscious of his actual position, which is spiritual engagement. In material consciousness, the senses are engaged in sense gratification, but in Krishna consciousness, the senses are engaged in the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. Therefore, the Krishna conscious person is always free, even though he appears to be engaged in affairs of the senses. Activities such as seeing and hearing are actions of the senses meant for receiving knowledge, whereas moving, speaking, evacuating, etc., are actions of the senses meant for work. A Krishna conscious person is never affected by the actions of the senses. He cannot perform any act except in the service of the Lord, because he knows that he is the eternal servitor of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadveta Agaradha Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Srina Singha Jaina Singha Jai Jaina Singha Srina Singha Singha Jai Jaina Singha De Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Srina Singha Jaina Singha Jai Jaina Singha Now thine is singa, thine is singa. Ala de sadaya patma mukha patma bringa. Sina singa, jaina singa, jaina singa. Kala de se gaya patna mukha patna bhinga. Sorry, we have to stop here. You can't just go on with the kirtan. So I want to first of all extend the hearty welcome to all the Vaishnavas who have not spare time, energy, Lakshmi, nerves, and everything else which was required to come here. It is very nice that you have come in such big numbers. I know we can't even fit all in this temple. So we want to have a wonderful festival tomorrow where we totally absorb ourselves in catching the mercy of Lord Nrsimhadev. A very special kind of mercy, which we will talk about in the later part of the lecture. Today's verse is quite interesting, like all the verses. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects, and that he is aloof from them. This is a very philosophical text, and I want to make it clear by shocking you all a little bit, so that you will know how to grasp this text. Imagine, this is something for the fantasy now. Imagine there would be a book, a novel, and all of a sudden the people who are described in the novel would have a realization. They would have the realization that they are only people in a novel. That they are not acting upon themselves. But that they are only forced to act according to the imagination of the writer. Let us give an example. Let us say the novel starts like this. Hans König left the school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with his friend Siegmund. It was a very strenuous day in the school. On the way home, Siegmund told Hans that he believed all human beings would be robots. And only act like machines, totally without free will. Hans König said, "No, I can't believe that I'm a robot and that all my friends and the teachers in the school are simply robots. It wouldn't make any sense." That's how the book would start, okay? So later, within the scenery of the book, you know, Hans would become a famous musician and so on and so forth. He would all of a sudden notice, wait a minute, we are now on page 350. But on page 352, there's also something about me. And he would get out of the book and look. Page 352, it says that I will meet another musician and we will quarrel very much about music, and he will be so frustrated with me that he will steal me all my money. Say, as an example, can you follow? This is a little extraordinary, I think. And he would think on page 350, oh no, I'm not free. I'm a robot. I'm forced to act. I don't have any free will. Do you follow? Now, what if you would all wake up one day you would wake up and read a text from the Bhagavad Gita. Let us say, just by chance, you would read, let me see, I have to ask my Pandit one moment. Der Dicke weiß es. Sorry, er ist nicht dick. Here. You would read this verse. Prakiti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three folds of material nature. And you would think, oh no, I'm also not free. Like the person in the book whose fate, whose happiness and distress is already fixed. My life is also already fixed. This is what the verse says. We are all moved by material nature. Just like the person in the novel is moved by the writer of the novel, the life of the conditioned soul is moved by his destiny, which is by his karma, which is given to him by the modes of material nature. We are not free. We are in a book. People in a book, thinking they can act on themselves, not realizing their difficult situation. I feel we should make a theater play from this. This is so good, the theme. What would you like to do at that moment? Of course you would like to bang, close the book, not the Bhagavad Gita, and open the Bhagavad Gita. You would like, if you notice that you are not free, you would like to open a new chapter in the life. Many people who come in contact with Krishna consciousness, they know about this, that in material life one is totally forced to act. One is not at all free. The medieval writer William Shakespeare expressed this in these words. This life is like a stage on which we are forced to not only play one role, but many, many different roles. I think before we came to Krishna consciousness, many of us had the realization, wait a minute, I'm forced to act. I'm not free. Do you know about this realization? Did you have it? No? Yes? So then, once you realize it, you want to get off the stage of material life and you want to become free. You want to enter, as Prabhupada says, into the spiritual sky of freedom. This is what is a desire in many, many devotees. Before they came to Krishna consciousness, and this desire keeps on increasing while they are in Krishna consciousness, because sometimes they realize, or I'm still acting according to the dictations of my previous nature, my conditioned nature. I'm not as Krishna consciousness as I would like to be, and therefore I realize I'm forced, I'm always acting in the same way in the same situation. So to come to this platform of Krishna consciousness, or Prabhupada says the Krishna consciousness person is always free, even though he appears to be engaged in affairs of the senses. Something very, very important is necessary. It's the realization that the devotee is not identical with his material body. We have the verse today here. A person in the divine consciousness, you know, in Krishna consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing. He's not the body. Because while speaking, going to the toilet, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. There is a classical example which is used both by Vaishnavas as well as by Mayavadis. There's a reason why both groups of philosophers use this example. This example, many of you have heard, I shall repeat it again here. It's about the man who goes in the evening in India to his village, and all of a sudden, while it is dusk, Abenddämmerung, he sees that there is a snake on the road, standing like this. So he becomes shocked. The whole night he's totally afraid. He's very worried that the snake will bite him. Therefore he just remains standing. Finally, in the morning, when the sun rises, he sees, oh, it is not a snake. It is just a rope. Or a branch is also an ast. It's just standing there. And when he realizes this, he becomes free from all fear. He becomes happy. He might even dance around and feel just everything is all right again. Why was he afraid? Simple answer. He made a mistake of identifying something which was not to be something else. In other words, he identified the branch to be a snake. The moment he realized, oh, it's just a branch, he felt great relief. In the same way, this is how the example goes, the moment we realize that we are not identical with this body, which goes from birth, old age, disease, and death, we lose our fear. This is, I think, a very clear example, and many of us have heard it. I do not want to really delve into it and explain it longer. Do you follow this example? When knowledge came, the fear which was due to ignorance disappeared. So from this example, the Mayavadis draw one conclusion and the Vaishnavas draw another conclusion. The Mayavadi conclusion goes like this. We only need to have knowledge to become freed or liberated from material existence. Because by knowledge, ignorance is destroyed, and when ignorance is destroyed, identification or misidentification is destroyed with this material body, and then you are free even while in this material body. Do you? This is the Mayavadis. The Vaishnava says, no! You might think, why no? We often heard this example in the lecture, and it was used like this. Why no all of a sudden? Always everything gets so complicated. Someone says this, someone says that. Why does the Vaishnava says no? Because you do not get liberated from material existence by knowledge. You get liberated from material knowledge by bhakti. Bhakti means to re-establish one's relationship of devotional service with the Lord. Bhakti means a devotional a relationship of service to Krishna. See, the reason why we came into this material world, the reason why we suffer in this material world, and the reason why we will continue to suffer is not a lack of knowledge. It is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Only if we turn back to Krishna, the miseries of material life will be destroyed. Not if we develop knowledge about the falsity of material existence. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an enlightening verse in this connection. Bhayam dviti yabi niveshatas yat ishat apitasya vipara yayo smriti. Let us first do the first two lines. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as a material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a service of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. Our misery is coming about because of turning away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and looking at the shadow of his illusory energy, the Maya. Therefore, Krishna consciousness really means, or the process of Krishna consciousness is meant so that the living entity can again turn his attention into to the service of the Supreme Lord. In Krishna consciousness, we have eight prayers prayed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one of these prayers is expressing an intense desire to again turn to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to read this prayer to you, which many of you, I feel, are already familiar with. Ayi nanda tanu yakin karam patitang mam vishame bhavam budo kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. The devotee in Krishna consciousness knows only if he finds shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can his existential dilemma of being just a figure in a piece in Maya's Drehbuch, in Maya's script, huh? Be solved. He therefore prays to Krishna, "My dear Lord, please save me from this horrible material existence." The Mayavadis want to cross the horrible material existence just on their own, without help. But this material existence is like a big ocean, Bhavambudhi. And in this ocean there are terrible sharks. I do not know if you also feel this. When you swim in a lake, do you sometimes feel that maybe there is a shark coming from down of the water, huh? Or if you swim in the ocean, do you also sometimes feel this? There is a shark coming. I think a psychologue, a psychologue, how do you say? A psychologist would have many explanations why this is so. But there is a fear in the human being that when one swims, something comes and then he eats my belly. You know this? This is something, you know, like lurking, coming through the door of the subconscious. And whoop, a fear, you know, which arises and just makes the life difficult for you. So, this example, so when you are swimming and you feel a shark, you might remember, you know, postcards with a shark, you know, there is a little Dreiecksflosse. Don't know how to say this in English, you know, going very enthusiastically, it's going, and you know, oh no, it's swim faster, but it's coming closer and closer. Isn't that a very fearful existence? You know, he will eat your leg, you know, or the hand, it will eat the hand or the nose or the ear, or will just do something totally tasteless with you. So the material ocean or material life is compared to such an ocean with dangerous sharks inside. I want to read this verse from the Bhagavatam so that you know that this is not speculation, but it is true. The ocean of nations is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. These sharks of material existence, which make life so difficult, which makes the material existence so dangerous, are lust, greed, enviousness, and so on. They constantly attack. You can watch your consciousness during a festival. Sometimes a shark comes, if you don't throw him out, and you know, just go like, then again you suffer, and again the material consciousness is there. It's constantly attacking the sharks of material existence. Therefore, you cannot swim on your own. You need a boat. The ocean of nations is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and so on, they can't do it. Therefore, the Kumaras recommend, here comes a recommendation, that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Only in bhakti, they can't do it. Therefore, the Kumaras recommend, here comes the recommendation, that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Only in bhakti, this is the essence, only in reconnecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead will we be able to cross the dangerous ocean of material existence. And tomorrow's festival is really all about that. You have come not saving, as we said, any endeavor. You have come from long, long distances. You have spent a lot of Lakshmi to come, to bring yourself here. Maybe imagine all the Lakshmi which was spent today. It's maybe 30,000 marks to bring all your bodies here. You have done so much austerity during the marathon, Nrisimhadev marathon, in distributing transcendental literature in Hrvatska and in Czechoslovenska, in Germanicky, and everywhere. You have not saved this. What do you want here? What do you hope to achieve by doing a marathon for Lord Nrisimhadev, who's there on the altar? What is your project, your personal ambition, or personal desire? Huh? Mercy, milost! Mercy, yes, barmherzigkeit. What else do you want here? Shelter. I want your shelter. Sadhu Sangha. I know about 30 want initiation into the path of spiritual life. Huh? Prasadam. What? To kill the sharks of lust and greed and so on. Yeah. What else? Association. That's already Sadhu Sangha. Kirtan. Liberation, someone wants. Yes, this is the desire. Purification. To please the devotees. Inspiration. What kind of inspiration? To go on with our service. Trust in Krishna. I think that's a nice list already, isn't it? Should maybe put it before the temple door. Projects of the devotees. Inspiration. Mercy. Sadhu Sangha. Kirtan. Kill the sharks. Please the devotees. There was many things were said. Yes. This is a fact. This is what we all want. Let us not forget it.
when the kirtans are intense, when the lectures are there, when we meet the exalted Vaishnavas, let us keep our projects in our minds, which we have brought here with us. So, one project which was said already, to get the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. Now you will be very interested to hear Lord Nrisimhadev does kill the sharks. Lord Nrisimhadev actually removes the obstacles in one's devotional service. All of us, I think, have not only brought their projects with themselves, but also their own obstacles, their difficulties in spiritual life. Lack of taste, for instance. Attraction to Maya. Lack of inspiration. Damaged faith. We all brought, you know, our strong sides and our weak sides with us. So, Lord Nrisimhadev mercifully appears in the devotee's life who takes shelter under him to take away our anarthas from within our hearts. He says, desires, I want to read this verse to you. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activities in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Lord Nrisimhadev will come in his heart, in the heart of the devotee, and he will take all the material desires away from the devotee. This is his special leela. It says, here, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make, and so on and so forth, to enjoy material life, huh? But Lord Nrisimhadev, if he is sincerely called upon, will take this away, and then we can cross the dangerous ocean of material existence. So, in concluding, I want to read with you a verse and want to just ask you to chant after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste jaste jase. Avir avir bhava. Vajanaka. Vajadrangstra. Kamashaya. Randaya randaya. Tamograsa. Grasa om svaha. Abhayam abhayam. Atmani bhuyishta. Om shrom. Yes. This is the verse. This is the verse, the motto for today, for tomorrow, for today, and for all days. Jai! I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish
our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world.
So, Hare Krishna, I thank you all very much for giving a patient hearing. Do you have any questions regarding these subject matters? Everything is clear. Everyone is in the mood already of the festival. So tomorrow you should be mercy diggers. They are gold mercy diggers. They are mercy diggers. Let us all be mercy diggers. If you do want to pray tomorrow to the Lord, the Singhadev, it is, you can find the verse which we have spoken about in the end, in the 5th canto, chapter 18, text number 8. 5:18:8. That's easy to remember. There's actually another explanation. Let me just say something else. See, one of the most important principles in our Krishna consciousness is taste. If we only have taste in the holy name, if we only have taste in the service, if we only have taste in our prasadam, then it will be so easy for us to live a very inspired Krishna conscious life. But this taste is not always there. The example has been given: if you sit, if a person sits before a good meal, but if he has fever, then he does not have any appetite for the meal. You might experience this from your own life. If you do have fever, you cannot actually appreciate a good meal, especially the very good meals. You know, the sabjis with the ghee and the cheese, and you just go like... when you do have fever, you cannot eat this. So Krishna consciousness is like a wonderful meal. Why does it happen that we do not always have the full taste in Krishna consciousness? What is our fever? See, to make it more clear, I always like to lecture about this. Let me make it very, very clear. It is said in the scriptures, if you chant the holy name, you get love of God. Do you all chant the holy name? Yes. Do you have love of God? No. It says, by eating prasadam, you lose material desires. All material desires for sense gratification. Do you all eat prasadam?
Yes.
Do you maybe sometimes still have a material desire in your heart? Unfortunately, yes, huh? So, what is wrong here? You're chanting, it says you should obtain a high exalted state in Krishna consciousness. It's not always happening. You're eating prasadam and you're not free from it. But what's wrong here? The answer is we have a fever. A fever is there, and this fever makes it so or arranges it that we cannot take full shelter in the process of Krishna consciousness. We lack the taste. When we chant our rounds, our umskis, our minds are all over the universe. So I don't want to make all this sad, all of us sad here, but this fever, which is avoiding that we get the taste, is anarthas, or undesirable things which are not valuable, to which we still are attached. For instance, offenses is a big anarthas. Or a big anatta is to become famous and well known during the process of bhakti, to become recognized. These anattas are like a fever, which, you know, create an obstacle to developing faith. Just like a real fever creates an obstacle so that we cannot eat properly. We cannot get into it. So today, tomorrow, we can again pray to Lord Narsinghadev. Please come in my heart and just rip apart these demons, these anattas. Huh? Then he will do it. And then we feel like after a good operation. Tomorrow is the day of the heart operation. Are you ready? You have to bring your heart. You have to not take it away. To say, my dear Lord, please, I really want that you take this out of my heart. And then the Lord will do so. Don't be afraid. It doesn't hurt so much. Little bit it hurts. Okay, so we will end here. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaunitai ki jai. Lord Narsinghadeva ki jai. Sri Narsingha Mahotsava ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Jai.